Hello and welcome, everybody, to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week. The movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in movies and or television, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Along with that, explicit content warning may not be suitable for all listeners.
In addition, check out our exclusive content on our website, nerdyboysreviews.com, and follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Nerdy Boys Reviews.
Yeah!
All right, welcome everybody.
Hello, hello, hello!
Yes, we are kicking it back old school with our old microphone today because my interface took a little shit on me, so one of the inputs was feeding back a lot, so we didn't want to record with a lot of feedback. This mic seems to be doing fine, so if you guys are having trouble hearing us or anything, or it sounds funny, just be warned that it's because it's a different mic. I'm going to be getting a new interface. It's going to be cool, so hopefully that'll work and be better for us.
Yes, along with that, just want to let you guys know, I am sick right now, so if I sound really nasally and stuffed up, that's why, guys. Sorry. No way around it. We still got a podcast.
Yes.
So we got, do we have some stories? Yeah, we have some
stories.
Yeah,
we have some stories here, okay?
So we went and played Magic this weekend. We went Friday night. We went in draft. You know, sorry if you guys aren't into Magic, but it's part of our nerddom and part of the stuff that we do on the daily or the weekly, you know?
Yeah.
And so we went Friday night to draft, and then, you know, I went undefeated, did really well. And then Christian, I actually made him draft, paid for him, and I went, you know, because usually he doesn't like drafting, but, you know, I was like, dude, just draft. You'll have fun. I don't know if he actually had fun. He looked pretty miserable the entire time, actually.
I drafted a pretty good deck. I went 2-1. I should have won my first round. I lost to some scum piece of shit kid.
Yep.
And then today we also played in what's called the Standard Showdown.
Yes.
So, pretty much they give you special packs. Everyone has a mythic in it. Everyone has a foil and everyone has a rare.
Wait, everybody has a mythic? I didn't get no goddamn mythic.
You should have got a mythic.
I did not get a mythic.
Well, or you should have got something. You did get a mythic, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I don't
you
know.
Did. It was probably
yeah, I think it was like the Fatal Showdown or some shit like
that. I don't know.
Who cares? It was shit.
Whatever, yeah. I was the only one who got something worth a little bit of money. We played in that. I got to the finals 3-0, and then I lost when I should have won again, so that was miserable. And Scott also went 3-1. So
yeah, so basically Christian got second place. I basically got third place. Sucks. We wanted to win, but you can't win every time. So right. I guess we'll just have to settle for doing well. It was pretty exciting for me because I was playing a new deck that is kind of played, but you know, I'm kind of trying to make it into something, and felt that I did pretty well with it as well. So
yeah.
Just need to make some adjustments and go back next week and conquer it.
Yes, but don't worry, guys. The road to drafting was not a great one.
It right? wasn't.
First of all, it's Black Friday, and there's shit ton of people everywhere. We went to GameStop, and they had shit sales, but they actually had this cool Star Wars mug or like little travel container that was like $20 off. It was awesome. So I was waiting in line to buy it, and I bought it. Go back to the car, and my fucking battery's dead. $200 later, we fucking make it to the shop. Some good Samaritan was nice enough to stop and give us a jump so that I can fuck off down to AutoZone.
Yeah.
Got that taken care of. Got a new battery. Made it to the shop. Car starts great now. It's no longer going...
Jesus, dude. Yeah, I mean, just glad that we got it all sorted out and whatnot. Talking about Black Friday, we tried to go Black Friday shopping. We went to Best Buy, we went to Target, we went to another Target, we went to Toys R Us. And guess what, guys? Black Friday is dead now. And I think, honestly, that stores are not even trying anymore. Because, I don't know, maybe they just realized that they can't really compete with, like, online sales and stuff like that. So I think that's the real reason that there was really no deals out there, guys. GameStop usually has some pretty incredible deals on their video games and stuff. Trust me, I should know. I go there every year when it's Black Friday. And they're having all their good sales. And I go buy the games all the time, all the time. I do this. It's wonderful. It's great, you know? And this year, just miserable deal. They had one deal, and it was buy two pre-owned things in their stores, and you get a third pre-owned game for free. But it all has to be like equal value and stuff like that. And it was just completely shit. They have like GameStop is known for having like a good Funko Pop selection, and they didn't even fucking run a deal on those, dude. Like, it was fucking miserable. Target, guess what their mighty fucking deal for, like, the nerd stuff was fucking 5% off. 5% does not even cover the fucking tax. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, that was shit.
Fucking, like, so everybody knows that Black Friday, you can usually get a TV for, like, a couple hundred dollars off to even, like, 50% off of its normal retail value. And now they think a good fucking deal is like $50 to $100 off. And I guess, yes, maybe that's like first world fucking white privilege fucking problems right there, where we're fucking pissed off that we're only getting $50 to $100 off of a product. But guess what? Black Friday is a tradition in America. And we're fucking gluttonous scumbags that love to spend money. And I don't understand why a business would not go and just fucking... Just give us some good fucking deals. Maybe it was just in California, because like I see like all these like internet articles where like people are going fucking nuts and like fucking nobody fucking Kansas cities and shit and like Minnesota's or whatever and like going all crazy in the mall. So I'm guessing there's some good deals there or something.
Probably not.
Fucking like California, dude. We got fucking bumhole, dude. Fucking gave us the fucking willy.
Yeah, well, the thing is, right, people will go crazy over saving $50 to $100, but, like, you can save that every day on Amazon, like, or other websites, or, you know, those are, like, normal sales. Like, Black Friday is supposed to be, like, huge sales, like, 80% off, like, the fucking store is closing out, going out of business kind of sales, you know?
Yeah, exactly, dude. And, like, I just don't understand, like, why Black Friday is dying. You know why Black Friday is dying? Because... stores want them to die. They don't want to do this shit anymore. That's what I really honestly believe that. Like, I do believe that stores no longer want to give deals out, and they don't want to have to deal with like paying these, paying like their employees like overtime and extra time and stuff. And they're probably not even getting that much money out of all of this. You know what I mean? Well, like, they're probably making some money because obviously their buy price is a lot lower than their selling price.
Stores are still making like bank off of it, you know, especially because they're pushing product like with TVs and computers and stuff that are going to be outdated in a couple months.
True. But I'm just saying, maybe it's just because like we're not stupid and we just realized that, okay, maybe if we just wait for Cyber Monday, we'll find fucking way better deals like online, or like, just fucking normal everyday fucking Amazon deals.
To be fair, like, Microsoft Store was having great deals. Like, you could get an Xbox One S with a game, like any bundle, like FIFA, Minecraft, Madden, Call of Duty, whatever. Like, for a 500 gigabyte system, you can get it for $250 with a game, and then you get another free game, like Gears of War Ultimate Edition or something. And then in addition to that, you get like a $25 Microsoft Store gift card, which I'm sure could have been used for, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's only, like, through the Microsoft Store, or, like, if you could use it to, like, you can, like, buy your membership or whatever through there or something. Like, it's, like, a gift code. Like, you could probably buy whatever on the fucking Xbox. I don't know. But it's, like, a good deal. It's, like, a $400 value for, like, $250.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I find it ridiculous that... Sorry, guys, I'm, like, moving around, and this mic is very sensitive, so, like, any background noise, you guys are gonna hear it. That's why we upgraded our mics and stuff in the first place, and now that our interface has taken a complete fucking fat, liquidy shit on us. Oh, Jesus, I shouldn't laugh, dude. I'm gonna start coughing like crazy.
Mm. That's sicky over there.
Sorry, guys, sorry. I'm very sick right now. Very, very sick. Trying to get it fixed.
He's a trooper.
I'm trying, man. But yeah. Anyways, Black Friday this year sucks dick. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I'm listening.
Oh, I already told you guys what kind of deals that we got.
Anyway, in addition to Black Friday being shit, fuck off, Elk Grove. Closing down every fucking main street to my fucking house.
So ridiculous. Making me
fucking travel miles out of the fucking way to get home.
Dude, fucking ridiculous, dude. We had to go like a mile down the road, a mile down that road, and a mile down the other road just to fucking get home because these fucking ass clowns are having a Christmas parade
in the fucking November.
I can't even complete my thought right now.
Anyway, sorry, guys. So sorry. We did Happy Thanksgiving, past Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was a couple days ago.
Yes.
So, hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Ours was awkward as shit.
Yes,
my uncle had a fucking stick up his ass the whole time.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck was his fucking problem? And then, they're like all getting mad at me for shooting silly string on my grandparents' ceiling from fucking Halloween and shit. And my grandpa knew the whole fucking time, apparently.
He's like, oh, I knew. awkwardness. Awkward. Just complete awkwardness all around.
It's like right when old people get senile and they're no longer angry. Like, because when I live with them, like, apparently I missed the toilet quite a bit. But I didn't do it on purpose and I didn't really notice.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it kind of, like, went around the trash can, like, on the floor. And my grandma thought I covered it up with the trash can. Like, I was that fucking clever. And she was, like, fucking tearing me a new asshole for it. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. My sister drew on the walls. And my grandpa tried to put my head through a wall. Like,
oh, Jesus.
But now they're fucking old and senile, and I got silly string on their chandelier and their ceiling.
And they're just like,
there's like, Scott, come to fucking Christmas dinner with us.
I know, right? So awkward.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I don't know if we have much else to say. Had a five-day weekend.
Yeah, I had a five-day weekend.
I'm having a four-day weekend, but tomorrow's Sunday. We're doing this Saturday night. A little different than usual, but...
Yeah.
We were supposed to go see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them again today, but our buddy Daniel fucked us off, so we'll be seeing it tomorrow and then podcasting about it for you guys. So
yes.
That'll be Nito Barrito.
Barrito. All right, guys. We're going to get into the news now.
Yes.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome, dude. No problem.
No shit. All right, so let's start with the news about Fox setting some release dates for Marvel films, Kingsman 2, and possibly Avatar 2, which I don't really give a shit about. So Fox made some interesting changes to its lineup with new release dates for Marvel films, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, and what is most likely James Cameron's Avatar 2. This is in addition to the release change for the Alien Covenant that Superhero Hype reported earlier this week. So let's talk about the release dates for the Marvel films. Fox has scheduled Marvel movies for November 2nd, 2018, and February 14th, 2019. One of them is most likely going to be Deadpool 2. I'm assuming the 2018 one will be Deadpool 2. The other one, another X-Men film, I'm sure, of some sort. I have no idea.
Who knows?
Don't
Who
really knows? Care, because Fox can suck my dick. A third Marvel film was also removed from the schedule and was previously set for October 6th, 2017. Taking its place on that date is Kingsman: The Golden Circle, which moves back from its previous date of June 16th, 2017. So, we'll begin that a little later. Hopefully, it'll be better for it. Then there's an untitled Fox/Lightstorm film that 20th Century Fox set for a December 21st, 2018 date. Best guess, I guess, is Avatar 2 for that. We don't have, a lot of information on it. Some more on the Kingsman follow-up. Taron Egerton returns as Eggsy for Kingsman: The Golden Circle, with Mark Strong reprising the role of Merlin from the first film. Halle Berry is appearing as the head of the CIA. Game of Thrones star Pedro Pascal will appear as a character conveniently named Jack Daniels, with Channing Tatum in an unknown role, and Julianne Moore playing the film's central villain. Edward Holcroft is also set to appear in the film, though whether he will reprise as his character from the first is unclear. Sir Elton John will also make an appearance in his first acting role, since the Pinball Wizard in 1975's Tommy. The dude himself, Jeff Bridges, is also appearing in an unknown role. Matthew Vaughn returns to write and direct Kingsman: The Golden Circle, which sees Eggsy heading to the United States, where he'll meet his match in a swaggering, sharpshooting cowboy.
Sick, bro. Pretty excited for that movie. Like, the first movie was so good.
I took on all the names. See that? See that?
You took on all the names.
I didn't make you read them all.
Thanks, man.
Usually, for some reason, Scott ends up with having to read all the fucking hardest names in the world. So, that was a refreshing bit of new, you know, shit.
What are you even saying, guys? So, sorry that you guys just had to endure the train going by. Like we said, this mic is going to pick up everything because, like, the filter on it's not too good. So, when the train comes by our house, you guys will hear it. Sorry about that in advance.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to some Black Panther news, some casting news. Angela Bassett added to Black Panther cast. Academy Award nominated actress Angela Bassett, which she has played What's Love Got to Do with It, Olympus Has Fallen, and Green Lantern, has joined the cast of Marvel Studios' Black Panther. Bassett, who currently stars in American Horror Story as well, will play Ramonda, mother of T'Challa, a.k.a. Black Panther.
Sick one.
Sick one, bro. In other Marvel news, Kevin Feige talks Captain Marvel movie casting Brie Larson. Marvel Studios president, producer extraordinaire Kevin Feige knows the importance of the Captain Marvel movies, a highly anticipated film due in part to the character's popularity and it being Marvel's first female-led solo film. Speaking with Variety, Feige opened up on finding the right filmmaker, having a female director at the helm to tell the story of a woman who is also our most powerful hero by far is very important to us. If you had the collector cards... if you had the collector cards, wait, didn't I just, oh, sorry guys, tripping myself up here. All right. Sorry. He said, if you had collector cards of the Marvel characters and you could see the power levels, she would be off the charts compared to anyone that we've previously introduced in a film. Feige also spoke about casting Academy Award winner Brie Larson, which was announced at the Summer San Diego Comic-Con. With Captain Marvel, who has powers that approach a level that we haven't seen before in our films, you need to counterbalance that by finding someone who is also very human and very relatable and could get into a groove with the audience where they're willing to see her fly through the sun and punch the moon away from a spacecraft. At the same time, we need her to land and have relatable flaws. Brie is a person you're going to want to go on the journey with, just like Benedict or Robert or Chris Pratt.
Yeah, all those characters. I would argue,
right,
that like Scarlet Witch has a higher power level than Captain Marvel.
Maybe. Well, I don't know.
We don't really explore that in Marvel films. Like, Scarlet Witch just has, like, weird kind of powers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whereas in the comic books, she has, like, just absurd fucking powers, you know?
True. Like, definitely, yeah, just exactly how you said it, is pretty much comic version Scarlet Witch is a lot stronger than our MCU. Maybe we might eventually work into that and explore and delve more into her powers. It just all is yet remain to be. I don't know, dude.
Just,
it hasn't happened.
Just
yet.
Like in the comic books, Captain America doesn't have powers, but in the movies, he does.
I will fucking end your life right now, dude.
Kathleen Kennedy talks about future Star Wars movies. Sick. The galaxy far, far away finally returned last year with the Force Awakens, of course, and the franchise won't be stopped for the foreseeable future. With a new Star Wars film set to hit theaters every year up through 2019, Rogue One: A Star Wars Story will be released in just a few weeks on December 16th, with Star Wars Episode 8 following on December 15th, 2017, the untitled Han Solo movie on May 25th, 2018, and Star Wars' Episode 9 coming in 2019. But what comes next? Another trilogy or more standalone movies? Well, Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm, told EW, that's a conversation going on right now. I have to honestly tell you, could we do nothing but standalones? Sure, but I don't know. We are looking at all of that. There are possible movies that we have been talking a lot about, but we are planning to sit down in January, since we will have had The Force Awakens released. Now, planning Rogue One, and we've finished shooting Episode 8. We have enough information where we can step back a little bit and say, what are we doing? What do we feel is exciting, and what are some of the things we want to explore? Along with their interview with Kennedy, the outlet also confirms previous rumors that the planned third Star Wars story was, in fact, about the infamous bounty hunter Boba Fett. Josh Trank was set to direct the film, and EW reports Lucasfilm came so close to announcing the film that a teaser trailer was prepared for Star Wars Celebration 2015, though it was ultimately shelved. It remains to be seen if this film will eventually be made or has fallen into the Sarlacc pit for good.
Man, they should do Bane. That's what they should be doing
they
next.
They need to just do like a semi Knights of the Old Republic, kind of something like that, to where you just go through, you know, like you can. Like, I think Darth Bane would just be interesting without knowing the history of Revan and Malak and all that before him. Just yeah. kind of where we are in the Darth Bane series and how we got to that point where, like, the Sith are, like, this kind of covenant, like the Jedi with all these yeah. people. And then, you know, like, have those films, like, be the prequels, you know, like, they'll obviously reference them in the films because they do in the Bane trilogy.
Yeah.
But... you know, just having that alone and getting introduced to, like, General Hoth and Farfalla and all these characters would be so fun.
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty great idea. Like, I mean, the Bane storyline is so incredible. And
it's a hoot and a half.
Yeah, it's definitely a hoot and a half. And I definitely think it's something that they could explore, and I think they should explore. Just remains to be seen where Star Wars is going to take their trilogy. I mean... maybe it's so hard because, you know, everything they've ever done is really focused on the Jedi point of view, and that really is more of, like, the Sith point of view.
Well, I think the difficult part is that a lot of people are so invested in the original trilogy and the Rebellion and all this stuff, and now even Force Awakens kind of moved away from that a little bit into what is now the Resistance and the First Order as opposed to the Galactic Empire and all that. Yeah. And then when you go back and have all this interesting stuff with the Jedi and stuff, people, the prequels were not good movies. I enjoyed them greatly, but they're still not great films. And, you know, there's a lot that could be done with that. I just think people are not interested in that side of the world anymore because of how poorly the films were made. So I think, like, when you start getting into, like, before Darth Vader, before the Death Star, before the Empire, like, people will lose a little interest there, you know?
I don't know. I think, like, you know, given the right storyline and stuff, like, could generate a lot of buzz, man. Like,
well,
I mean,
I agree.
I think regardless of what Star Wars does, as long as Star Wars is, as long as that name is ever attached to it, there will be a turnout for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think they tried it with, you know, Clone Wars and all that, kind of filling in the gaps there. But like, where they've moved to now is, you know, Kanan and all these characters, like, while Darth Vader is rising to power between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope and all that. And now they're moving forward with solo films that kind of do the same thing, like building up Han Solo, building up these other characters that we're familiar with from the original trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, that's all our news. We're going to move into our television shows now. We only had 4 shows this week.
Yep.
And next week we're going to have our 4-part crossover. But this week we just had Gotham, Lucifer, Supergirl, and The Flash.
The Flash. See, not kind of curious as to, like, why they, like, what was the point of them, like, making those 2 episodes? Like, why, like, okay, it's kind of understandable, like, you know, because, you know, Thanksgiving is, you know, gonna take away from Thursday, and then people traveling on Wednesday, so maybe they were just like, oh, we're just not gonna get the viewership, so let's just not make episodes this week. But, like, why not just do that for all the CW shows?
Well, I think it fits in with their plan because The Flash was the only show that had a week off during the election. So, uh-huh. Of course, now playing this episode catches them up with the other ones. And Supergirl and Legends both started a week late.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they didn't just air Legends, probably because it's on Thanksgiving. But that makes sense why they'd do Supergirl to kind of catch up with where they are. Probably Legends not because it's, like, a super short season for them. It's, like,
yeah.
15 episodes or something.
But maybe, like, what happened in The Flash, it could definitely, like, play a huge role in what could happen in this crossover. We'll talk about, you know, what happened in the episode
a little bit
later. But first up, we got Gotham.
Gotham, Season 3, Episode 10, Mad City, Time Bomb. A threat to Lee and Mario is exposed on the eve of their rehearsal dinner, and Falcone comes to Jim for help. Meanwhile, Nygma plans his revenge, and Bruce learns more about the Court of Owls.
So what'd you think of this episode?
I thought this was a very good episode.
Me too. I thought it was, like, probably one of the best episodes of the season. It's like up there, you know what I mean? Like, this was just a really well done episode.
Yeah, it was very solid. Jim came back with the classic "You have my word."
I know.
Line. We banged on about that the last time we used this microphone.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's what Jim Gordon was like known for. He's like, anything, any like tragedy would like happen, and like Detective Jim Gordon's on the case, I give you my word, I will solve this. I'll give you my word, I will protect you. And usually, it never turns out that way. His word usually means not a damn thing.
Yeah, it didn't really mean much in this episode, even though he was trying his best. He also was like, Falcone, you're a shithead.
Yeah, pretty
after,
much.
Like, giving him his word. So, that all kind of happened. We were introduced to the Whisper Gang.
The Whisper Gang,
trying
yes.
to take down the Court of Owls. Whisper Gang is cool and all that. They kind of got annihilated by the Court of Owls in this episode. So
they did. That they did. Yeah, I thought that was like some of the most interesting stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it was like the whole Court of Owl things was actually like interesting this time. Not just like how they were normally doing it. And it was just like awkward and weird. Because, you know, like their potential, like this time it was like really well thought out and really well done.
Yes. But to be fair, you're still not a fan of the storyline.
Like, you just kind of have to accept it, like what they do.
Well, yeah, because obviously they're doing it. So there's no point in banging on about how, it, you know, it's fucking shit. But
I mean, at this point, I don't believe it's like a shit storyline at the moment. Like, at first it was. How they did it, but now it's a little bit better. They've developed it a little bit more.
Yeah,
and we'll just have to wait and see what exactly happens and how everything turns out.
Yeah, I think the other things that the Court of Owls is doing is fine. I think just introducing Bruce to them this early is the mistake they made.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's kind of move on a little bit. Edward Nygma is fucking brutal.
Oh
fucking
yeah,
ruthless as shit. Cut off Tabitha's hand.
Jesus. Yeah, they're trying like some new interesting like camera works and effects in this episode.
Yeah.
Like this show is trying to be like within their limits of what they can do on like a public television show like Fox.
Right.
They're trying to be like a little bit more brutal about how they do things. You know, even like down to like lines that they're saying, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, like how Penguin described what he would do to what's her name, Barbara,
yeah,
and stuff. Because usually he'll be like, "You'll pay for this,"
right?
And it's like, God, that line is so—it's just almost as bad as "You have my word."
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, some of the things Penguin says get a little like they're almost too campy. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, I don't know, you can't even take him that seriously, but. Babs, Barbara, to be fair, does figure out Penguin is the one who killed Isabella.
Yep.
And she's going to start a fucking war in Gotham.
Yeah, between Nygma and Penguin. Who would have ever thought this could happen?
Right. And then we also kind of...
Oh, wait. Me. I predicted this all happening, guys.
Yes, we also kind of found out the Court of Owls is trying to prevent war in Gotham.
Yes.
Obviously, because all their assets are in Gotham. So...
Yes, the Court of Owls is actually going after Mario, which is Lee's fiance.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What do you think? Like, what do you think he could? Well, we find out what he's hiding.
He's infected with the Tetch blood. The Tetch virus.
How did that happen?
I'm
legitimately confused about this matter.
Maybe something with like Barnes, like maybe at the party, like Barnes bled into his drink or something. Jacked off into his fucking mimosa.
Jesus, what the fuck, dude? That's a bit extreme.
That's another level.
But like, I just don't understand, like, because like I was like thinking about it, I was like, oh well, maybe he was like in the part of like the people that got locked up or whatever and then escaped. No, that doesn't add up, because right after that happened, Jim went to go see Lee. And then that's who she was with, was Mario. That couldn't happen that fast. He couldn't, like, just, like, run off and then, you know, whatever.
Maybe when, when they were trying to save Lee and Vale from, like, Tetch. Like, maybe after he knocked out Mario, he did something to him. That's possible.
What?
Like, remember, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes again? when like Jim made him shoot like Valerie Vale.
Sorry. Yes.
Like, and Mario was there, but he got like knocked out because his gun was full of blanks. Maybe Tetch did something to him then, after he escaped or something.
Wait, what's his name, like, have, like, a vial of her blood or something like that?
Yeah. But I don't know
what he did. What did he do with that? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
We're going to have to go back and look and then figure this all out, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, like, the last kind of thing that happens before the Tetch blood thing is Lee goes and, like, kisses Jim on the mouth.
That's why I never kiss him on the mouth.
Right?
This is obviously going to bring back feelings for Lee and make her and realize... Jim. Yeah, well, I mean, Jim, the feelings have always been there. He's just, like, burying them deep, deep, deep down.
Yeah.
I don't know why he just doesn't admit to her that he did go after her. It's just he was too late.
Because
like,
Because that would get rid of the conflict. It's just too easy, you know? Like, you have to keep conflict going with your main characters or they're just boring. But, like, conflict like this is fucking stupid as shit.
I agree. Oh, wait, one more thing. Dude, how crazy was it for, like, Nigma, you know, like... sitting there, like, torturing Butch, and then, like, chopped off, Tabitha's hand and stuff, and, like, they actually kind of showed it, and mm-hmm. I was like, sure, it was pretty cheesy effects or whatever. I think that was, like, my main complaint. It's, like, they try new things, which they get, like, an A for effort, but, like, a D for, like, execution.
Let's be honest, right? If you got your hand fucking chopped off, you wouldn't just be like, oh, sick one, and stare at it.
It just, like, squirted blood and stuff.
And like, then, like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, look it, my hand is gone. I'm going to stare at it for a solid 30 seconds before I pass out.
Yeah, like...
you'd be screaming in pain, and then you pass out.
Well, I don't know. Because, like, remember, like, she was, like, all part of, what's-his-name's...
oh, yeah.
Thing.
Maybe and, like, she was in shock or something. Who knows? Who fucking knows?
Who knows? But now Nigma put it all together because Butch was all like, yeah, and I killed her. And right before I pulled the trigger and I had my gun to the back of the head, and she begged and said that she wished she had a real man or something like that. And I was like, it made him realize, oh, shit.
He's like, what? No, she died in a car crash. She's
and like, then fucking like the little guillotine fucking happened, dude. I was like, no.
Yeah, and then Butch is like, dude, I told you I didn't know no bitch named Isabella.
It'd been, like, hella funny if he's just like, my bad. My bad.
Yeah. Anyways, fucking... Lee is a fucking slag for making out with Jim, alright? I mean, she didn't really make out,
One more thing. Well, okay, it's, like, cool. It's, like, a cool concept about, like, how he triggered it. Like, the guillotine and stuff. But, like, why do you suppose that they didn't just make it to where, like, they had to solve a riddle to stop it? Like, do you think that would just be too easy because he's the Riddler?
Yeah, maybe he just hasn't, like, assumed that moniker yet.
Yeah.
Like, but he does tell riddles all the time. Like, I would have fucking done it. Like, solve a riddle, you know, for your hand not to get it cut off, and then, so, I don't know. I think they were just trying to make him seem, like, more brutal by, like, giving him that choice, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. All right, so what would you grade this episode?
A 9.5.
I'd give a 9. That seems like a pretty good, like a generous grade, maybe. I give it a 9.0. I just think, like, it was a great story and, like, an excellent episode. I just think, like, maybe, like, I'm judging it kind of harsh off, like, the effects and, like, the old kind of, like, lines they just keep resurfacing with, like, Jim and stuff. And, like, I just kind of get tired of them doing that over and over and over again. At this point, to us, like, his word means nothing. Like...
it's so true.
And even Bruce has told him that in this show. Is like, no offense, but, you know, you've already promised me all this and you've not done anything for it.
He's like, to be honest, Jim, your word means dick.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so that's in the book. 9.0 for me, 9.5 generously from Christian. Moving on to
Lucifer,
episode 209, Homewrecker. Lucifer goes to great lengths to protect his home when the owner is murdered and the new owner wants it demolished.
Yes.
What'd you think?
This episode was a mix of nothing happening and everything happening.
It was very alright. Like,
I think the episode overall was good. I just think, like, 90% of the episode, nothing happened. And then, like, the last 10 minutes was, like, packed with stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, for me.
What was your favorite part?
Lucifer dancing with Chloe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good scene. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, like, Lucifer's mom was, like, seducing Dan. Detective Douche. And they had sex.
Yes.
They had sex.
Interesting.
But, like, for me, like, a couple things were evident in this episode besides it was just boring most of the time. Lucifer explicitly is in love with Chloe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But he fucking pies her off on the date. She's fucking sitting there by herself, expecting Lucifer to come, texting him and shit, and he's just at home fucking whinging about something or another. But she got fucking pied, okay?
Yep.
I
think it'll all work itself out by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, it probably will, but all we know for sure is, like, Lucifer's mom is trying to get him to take her and Amenadiel back to the Silver City, or heaven, whatever you want to call
it. Dude, I hope they visit it.
Yeah, they should definitely visit it, I think. But, like, she's, like, trying to blow up his home to do it. Now she realizes it has nothing to do with Lux. Like, he's staying really for Chloe. So now she's going to try to kill Chloe. And that's how, like, the episode ends. I think it's just an unresolved beat that will not be resolved. Like, the next week, it's just, like, resolved in 2 seconds. Like, she's not going to die. We know that. Like,
yeah.
Kind of pointless to end the episode that way.
I mean, it's like a mini cliffhanger, really. That's really what the point of it is. I know you really hate cliffhangers, and like
to me, it's like if you need to have a cliffhanger to make people want to come back and watch the next episode, like you don't show that you're confident in what you're doing, you know?
I don't know. Like, I think we've had this discussion before, and it's really not like worth spending a lot of time on it. But no. I adamantly disagree. I really do like cliffhangers and stuff. Like, I think, you know, like, I mean, obviously, you don't need, like, the overuse of them. Sometimes, like, it's just, like, a natural cliffhanger that occurs sometimes, you know?
Yeah, cliffhangers, I don't have a problem necessarily with cliffhangers. I just think that, like, a lot of times, like, they don't pay off necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, and when they don't pay off, it's like the writer couldn't think of something better to do. And they're just like, well, I want people to keep watching my show. So I'm going to end it on a cliffhanger so they have to come back and see how it's resolved.
Well, I mean, that's just how shows are written.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all written like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I disagree. I don't have a problem with cliffhangers. I mean, sure, it's, like, you know, it gives you, like, a certain level of, like, frustration and stuff. Like, because you're like, fuck, what happens? Like, I need to know. Like, well, it wasn't, like, an overly dramatic one. It's not like when Arrow, like, he fell off the cliff, you know, fighting Ra's al Ghul, you know right. what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, that level or anything. But, yeah, I mean, I thought the episode was pretty decent. There was, like, a lot of nothing really going on. A lot of character development, really, in this episode, again.
Yeah. Yep.
So, what would you rate this episode?
I gave it an 8.8.
An 8.8. I'd give it, like, an 8.2. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good episode. Nothing particularly wrong with it. Just, you know, I felt like
it just kind of
lacked.
Yeah,
I lacked in, like, I don't know,
all the right places.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So let's move on to Supergirl season 2, episode 7, The Darkest Place. Supergirl comes face to face with Cyborg Superman when she attempts to save Mon-El from Cadmus. We're going to have the same conversation here real quick, I guess. They start with, like, a time jump. So, like, you see, like, halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
And then they go back. And, like, it is a common device, but I also think it shows, like, a weakness in your writing when you do that.
Interesting. So, he says that, but one of the one shows that he has always credited this specific writer for does it all of the time. All the time, Doctor Who always does this.
Doctor, like, Who does it sometimes, yeah.
I mean, quite a bit, honestly. Honestly, I believe they do in that show more than a lot of other shows. I feel like they did that a lot. And, like, and I know, like, that is somebody, like, you really do love that writer because, like, how well they've always written Doctor Who. So, like, how do you translate that, though?
Well, I still think, like, with this, it's not as big of a deal because it is in, like, the actual, like, teaser footage for the episode.
Uh-huh.
But it is like they're just trying to like mislead you into thinking something that's like obviously not true through a time jump. Like without it, the episode doesn't suffer at all. Like it's fine without it. I think it's just like it's not necessary. You don't need it there.
Yeah, I think I do agree with this, with what you're saying, is if they didn't show it in the trailer, it would have been more effective, actually, I feel like. Like, if they didn't show it and you're like, what the fuck? And then, like, you instantly get it, like, I feel like that was just, like, bad move on their part.
They're just leading you to believe that, like, the white Martian blood affected him in some kind of way. But, like, that's not what happened at all. It's just a cyborg Superman. Apparently.
Yeah, in fact, you find out that the white Martian blood is actually turning him into a white Martian.
Yes.
I was like, holy shit!
Yes.
That was, like, even more, like, crazy. I was like, dude, this episode is just nuts.
But without that, like, just avoid the time jump. The rest of the episode is very good. It's a very powerful episode.
Yeah, dude. It was pretty sweet episode. I really enjoyed this episode.
I don't remember
quite a bit.
Like right away, they kind of jump off with like a Batman reference. I don't remember what it was, but it was something about like the brave and the bold or whatever. I don't know.
I don't even remember.
There was a straight Batman reference at the beginning, and I was like, hey, that's a Batman reference. I wrote it down, but I didn't write what the Batman reference was.
Oh, darn it.
So Mon-El was very clever in escaping his little jail cell, you know, at the beginning. I thought that was really cool to like to kind of see that. And then they use Cyborg Superman to trick him into thinking that it was Hank or John Jones.
Yeah.
So he went back.
Yep. So. Mon-El is forming into a brave hero.
Yeah. The other part of this episode was Guardian kind of getting set up, made to look like a bad guy. Do you care at all about the Guardian storyline?
No, not really.
I mean,
the only thing... Sorry to cut you off.
No.
The only thing that I feel like makes his storyline interesting is Wynn.
Yeah, because Wynn is great. But, like, it's more tolerable when, like, you can kind of do, like, what we're forced to do is, like, accept that this is not Jimmy Olsen as Guardian. This is just a black guy as Guardian who runs a newspaper or a magazine or whatever. Like, when is the actual Jimmy Olsen in this equation?
Yeah.
He ties our heroes together. He is our Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
So
I think that's something that people, everybody needs to take into consideration when watching the show. The character Wynn is really the real Jimmy Olsen, and Jimmy Olsen in this show is just some phony. Who knows? Who knows what the fuck they're doing with him? He's fucking Guardian now.
Speaking of when he spills the beans on Guardian's secret identity.
And then Alex finds out because of that. And then she doesn't do anything. Like, what do you... Huh, interesting. Interesting. Why do you think that she didn't say anything?
I don't know. Probably because Wynn asked her not to or whatever. But, like, Kara needs to know.
Why does she need to know?
Because it's like, first of all, Jimmy.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't, like, she hasn't kept it from him that she's Supergirl. Like, I mean, obviously that's kind of hard because, you know, he's best friends with Superman.
Yes.
But still, like, he should know, like, that you have to be able to, you know, confide in your friends.
Yes. And, I mean, I think it'll eventually come out, but, you know.
Yeah. Was it this episode where, like, Mon-El is, like, falling in love with Kara? Like, at the end, and, like, Jimmy and Wynn are like, what?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's pretty
funny. Dude, I'm actually kind of rooting for that, because I really don't want to see Kara go with, like, fucking Jimmy, this version of Jimmy Olsen. I'd rather see her with, like, Mon-El. Like, it makes more sense, and they really are setting it up, and I don't know. I think relatively, like, I think they make a pretty good match. Like, they're pretty counter, like, parts to each other. Like... What is so funny?
I'm just reading my notes. I wrote, I do like Guardian - not. And then I was like, Jimmy. Hey. I was like, Jimmy, I'm going to call him Sam.
Your name's Sam. Why Sam? Why
I don't know. I just wrote down Sam. I don't know.
He looks like he could be a Sam.
He does, right?
He does. Your name is now Sam.
Yeah. So we also get the reference to the Nth metal. Like, that's what the jail cells were built out of. Nth metal is a foreign metal, different from other planets.
Yes.
It is what partially. Well, it is engraved in Hawkman.
Yes.
Hawkman is the definition of nth metal, I'd say. But yeah, that was pretty cool. And then yes. We know that Cadmus is starting on the Medusa Project.
Ooh, Medusa Project.
So
interesting name.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Cadmus did take Kara's blood.
Yep.
That's quite dangerous.
That is dangerous.
And Jeremiah is alive, and he's a good guy still. So.
So are we gonna get a Bizarro Supergirl now? Oh wait, no, we already got one. Huh?
We pretty much already got one, but now we're probably gonna get some sort of fucking creepy ass. Well, they might just make like Cyborg Superman, like a real boy.
So wait, whatever happened to what's his name? The freaking like evil like billionaire guy from last season.
Didn't he get arrested?
What the hell happened? How are you just gonna write him? He was a good character.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
I liked him.
He turned Alex straight before she went gay. Because she's always been gay. We all right, guys? Always.
Yep.
And Maggie's like, bitch, I still want to be your homegirl in that.
You think they'll ever end up together?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think they have to, because this show has invested so much time in Maggie that, yeah, they're going to get little Scissor Boys actions. Oh, Jesus. Oh, gosh.
Scissoring. All right. So, let's grade it. I will give it a 9. Wait for it. 8. I thought this episode was great.
I gave it a 9.0.
That's okay. I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, no, it was a great episode. It was a great episode.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, guys.
Woo!
Woo! All right. Moving on to The Flash, episode 307, Killer Frost. The team is in for a shock as Caitlin is forced to reveal Killer Frost, her Killer Frost powers, but she is not the only one with a secret.
All right.
Interesting.
So, fucking Savitar is a fucking savage.
Man's a fucking beast.
Run very fucking rampant around the fucking city.
Dude, I can't wait to find out more about him. Like, is he an actual god? Like, what is, like, going on with him?
But then, like, Caitlin straight up, like, froze him.
She's yeah. Like, for a second, but then he was able to escape. He's like,
So... Barry is still blaming himself for everything all over the place. Fucking it's his fault. But, like, it's really not his fault. Like...
So, like, wishy-washy on, how people are, like, reacting to it. Because, like, one minute it's like, you should have told us. It's your fault now. And then they're like, it's not your fault, Barry. It's not your fault. You shouldn't feel bad about this. And then everybody else is like, oh, you should feel bad. You did this. You changed everything. You fucked our lives up. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like... Can you guys just get your story straight?
All yeah, right? Because, like, first of all...
Who's mad at Barry and who's not mad at Barry?
Like, Iris is not mad at Barry.
Not anymore.
Cisco was mad at Barry, then not mad at Barry, and now mad at Barry again, and also not mad at Barry again.
And Caitlin's mad at him, and also not mad at him, and still pretty mad at him. Joe seems pretty indifferent. Iris seems okay. And Wally probably seems ecstatic.
Joe's like, nah, fuck you. but, yeah. So, Barry knocked out Julian. That was great. That was pretty hilarious.
That was hilarious.
That made me chuckle.
We also find out Julian is Alchemy. Dr. Alchemy. Yes. We already knew that we cover casting news and stuff. And we already all knew that. Sucks.
Yes.
Because things like that is always ruined for us. But it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Vibe was fucking legit off the chain hook in this episode because you know, it's Cisco and he's like one of the greatest characters ever. But obviously our Cisco Barry riff has returned.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's Barry's fault that his brother died apparently, even though, like, you know, Iris came in with the fucking wisdom. Fucking, he could have fucking died in a car crash anyway. You never know, right? Like, in the future of the previous world, right? Yep. Oh, also, Caitlin probably got her fucking powers from the fucking particle accelerator.
Who knows?
Yeah, so Wally's officially got his powers now.
Sick.
Hashtag Kid Flash. Wait. Barry brought Caitlin back from the brink.
From the brink of
Killer Frosthood.
So, alright, let's get this all straightened out here. So, it's going to take Vibe, Killer Frost, Flash and Kid Flash taking on Savitar / Dr. Alchemy This is going to be an interesting showdown.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting as shite.
As shite?
Yes.
Like, what do you suppose, like, Dr. Alchemy's actual powers are? Like, nobody really knows.
I don't know, but he's, like, insanely powerful. Like, can, like, teleport or something. Like, he's fucking strong as shit. Like, but when he got confronted by Joe and them, he had, like, no powers.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. It's very confusing. And then you got, like, Savitar. And
Julian
he's, like,
is just, like, a little bitch.
And he's, like, overly powerful and stuff. And I was like, man, this is nuts. And then Julian makes fucking, like, Barry quit the CCPD.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, dude, I'll fucking cover for your little bitch friend, but you fucking need to quit, mate.
Yeah, dude.
Draco Malfoy in disguise.
It was pretty crazy. And then you got, like, Caitlin going evil killer Froster in this episode because you can't control her powers.
But then somehow now she can control her powers.
Yeah, she fought back from the brink and then put on the power bracelets, and now she's good. Now there's sirens.
Fuck off, man. Like, the fucking thing was supposed to end at 10 o'clock. It's fucking 11:12. I bet you, like, the fucking boulevard's still closed.
Probably, guys. Who knows?
Any fucking way. I mean, this episode, I think, was great.
Yeah, I thought this was a good episode.
I give it a 9.6.
I give it, like, a 9.2.
Right. Oh, mate.
All right, before we forget, winners and losers of the week. So, every week, we pick winners and losers. What was our best show? What was our worst show? I mean, just because we categorize it as the worst show doesn't mean it was an actual bad episode. It just means did not stack up to the rest. So, winner for me would be Supergirl.
Yes, my winner was The Flash. Honestly, I don't think it's fair to say there was a loser this week because every show I think was pretty good. But Lucifer is the obvious weak link from this week because even though the good parts were great, the rest of the episode was just nothing. So
yes, and it got the lowest grade, and that's what we classify as being the loser of the week. So for me, my winner, Supergirl, my loser, Lucifer. Christian's winner was The Flash, and his loser was also Lucifer. So make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media platforms, guys. Helps us all stay connected. You know, if you guys ever have any questions for us, you guys can feel free to hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We have a blog section on our website designed by Christian himself. The web address is www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Make sure you guys are going to check that out. Make sure you guys are frequently going there because we always post new articles every week. Christian posts his buy list and what, you know, he kind of thinks about what's going on in comic books at the moment.
And we update our episode grades every week.
Yeah, so if you can't happen to listen to the podcast, at least what you could do is go visit the website and see what we graded the episode in case you're interested.
Or if you want to know what we graded older episodes.
Yeah.
Those are all up there as well. Some shout-outs, Reality Comics, still doing their thing. Social media website for nerds. So check out Reality Comics. realitycomics.com, and check out the Nerd Variety Show, another podcast. Some great Virginianers out there doing their thing as well.
Yes.
So make sure you check them out. Of course, we will also, around the same time this is posted, be talking about Fantastical Beasts. That'll be posted around the same time. So if you want to know what we thought of Fantastic Beasts and where to find them, check out that podcast.
Also, shout out to Nicholas J on Twitter. Thanks for always being such a great follower and listening to our podcast and interacting with us.
Yes.
And yeah, thank you very much.
I don't know if or when we'll talk about it, but the Death of X just ended in comic books, and the last issue was actual just shit.
Yes.
But to me, it confirms like Marvel's official boycott of Fox.
Yes. Maybe we could do a specialty podcast on that.
Yeah, just moving forward with comics and Marvel and everything, because like, not only is Professor X dead and Wolverine dead, now we have a new dead X-Men, a major X-Men. So we'll see what happens from there, but we'll probably definitely need to talk about that. So
yeah, so be on the lookout for announcement on a future podcast. Probably not gonna be this weekend. We'll probably do it if we can fit time into it. Next weekend or the weekend after, because I have to catch up on all that reading. So we'll try to do it as soon as possible, guys. Just stay on the lookout for it. like we said, we'll be doing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them review tomorrow.
And if you're lucky, Daniel will be on it.
Yeah, and Daniel might make an appearance, our resident racist. But,
and inbred.
Yes, and inbred. I think that's all we have for you guys this week on our regular podcast. We're going to be signing out now. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And as always, we got one simple message here at NBR for you, and that's stay nerdy, boys.